Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. As always, presented by Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. They can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560. To get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella, Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. As always, I'm Brian Batka, one of our Steelers beat writers, recording this Monday afternoon, fresh off of Art Rooney II, Steelers team president's State of the Union address. So I'm going to be joined by somebody else who's in the room for that. That would be ESPN.com's Brooke Pryor, who's also been covering the Steelers for quite a while. Let's bring Brooke in right now. Brooke, how you doing?
I feel enlightened and energized by talking to Art Rooney II. How couldn't you? So I'm great. Plus the afternoon
Diet Pepsi that I'm drinking courtesy of the Steelers from one of their, I believe, playoff practices where they fed us lunch.
Well, there you go. I was going to say, I mean, we've both been covering the team since 2019. You've been to, I guess this is the fifth one of these season wrap-up pressers that you've been to at this point. And we've got a lot to get into from Art Rooney II's comments, from Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mike Tomlin. But let's just start with Art himself, the man at the top. I mean, did he seem any different to you, Brooke, than in previous years of sitting in that room around the table with the other reporters and sort of getting our chance to lob some questions his way that he hasn't addressed since the Steelers had gone through a 17, or in this case, 18 game slate of ups and downs?
You know, I think that
Art is very much always the same person, right? Like, he's very even keeled. He's pretty, at least to us, soft spoken. I mean, he's just very, he's very consistent, I will say. I mean, I think that he kind of mirrors the rest of the organization in that he's done something
a certain way forever, and he's going to keep doing it that way. But to me, I noticed similar themes that I felt like I noticed
when we talked with Mike Tomlin,
in that
while they're going to be consistent and they're going to give the same kind of message, their cracks are starting to show. They're starting to realize and say externally,
things have to change. We're getting impatient with not winning. There is a sense of urgency. And I think that
the acknowledgement that, hey, we have to look around the league and see what's working. It's not that the standard isn't the standard. It's not that the Steeler way is not the way anymore. But I think that there was some acknowledgement from him in how he spoke, in what he said, that
Maybe we can't just live on an island in Pittsburgh, that maybe we need to take a look around the rest of the league and realize that
we can incorporate some of these things in moving forward to get this organization back to the tier that they expect to be on.
Yeah, I think you said it great there, that the head of the organization is always going to be careful with what he says. Any quote from, you know, Art Rooney II is going to have the right phrasing, the appropriate caveat that goes with it. I mean, that's just how he is. You're never going to be dealing with a fire and brimstone type of owner like a Jerry Jones or Al Davis in his heyday. Probably not even Mark Davis with the way he talks sometimes publicly in running the Raiders. But Yeah, I mean, even though I'd never necessarily been in on those briefings, that he said we've had enough of this, meaning himself, Mike Tomlin, and which I thought was notable. He's acknowledging the veteran players like Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt, who, you know, they're not going to be around forever, especially somebody like Cam Hayward. There's more in the bottom of the hourglass than the top with him, and with T.J. Watt still hasn't even won a playoff game in his time in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I mean, to say that and to use the word impatient, a little impatient, but impatient nonetheless.
A little. He catched it.
Yeah, impatient nonetheless with, you know, that was when he was asked about 7 years now without a playoff win and obviously a five-game losing streak in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, I think you got less of the 2022 response, which was, look at how we improved throughout the season. We got better down the stretch. We're encouraged by the results. He sort of mentioned that at the end when he was talking about the job that Mike Tomlin's doing and how he sort of evaluates him. But yeah, I mean, it was just interesting because this is, I guess, the structure of the offseason right now. This is the first time in a while that the collective media has talked to Art when Mike Tomlin's, his future's not in jeopardy, but the contract status is less firm than it has been in previous seasons. And that was probably the area of which he, you know, his 25 minute comments were the least expansive is when that topic came up.
Yes, I definitely noticed that. Because that was the last question. I'd been kind of trying to figure out for the better part of that 20 minute session, how to phrase it, I think when you approach asking Art Rooney questions, you do so in the same way that at least I try to formulate questions to Mike Tomlin, thinking like, okay, they're going to be very calculated with how they answer this, so I need to be very calculated in how I ask this.
17 years, they've heard it all. Well, even they longer have. In Art's case. So
they truly have. They are pros. It is very much a chess match, one that I enjoy sometimes. Because you can't just throw out a talk about the extension status. Like, you've right. got to be very pointed. And so the thing that we closed this availability on was I asked him, how does, you know, understanding that you still have confidence in Mike and his ability to connect with the players, does your impatience at where you are as an organization affect the terms of the contract extension that you're working out with Mike Tomlin? And I was a little, I think I lost track of how I was phrasing it in the moment because I was trying to get those puzzle pieces all right in line. But the gist of the question that I was asking him, and he understood this, I think, is,
you're impatient. Are you going to keep giving him 3 or 4 year extensions, or is this going to turn into a year by year deal so that if you're still not having success in a year or two, that gives you an easier out to move on from Mike Tomlin? And Art said, you know, that's not something that he's going to discuss right now. He's keeping that with between him and Mike Tomlin's representatives. But I think that he was definitely very
clipped
when asked about, when is this extension going to happen? Is there a sense of urgency because of the offensive coordinator hire? All of kind of the details of that. And I thought it was
interesting that while Mike came out and said in his end of season that he expected to get a contract extension, I don't think it at any point, and maybe it's just because Art felt it was understood, there was no,
we are extending Mike Tomlin, we are just waiting for the ink to dry kind of thing. I thought that was significant, that there was no definitive outside of him saying, I still believe in Mike Tomlin. I still think he's the guy that can win a championship here. And that's, you know, that's why we're moving forward with him. I just would have liked to hear a little bit more definitiveness in talking about the extension.
Yeah, he was certainly verbose in his praise of Tomlin when it came to the job that he thinks he can still do as a head coach. But certainly, I mean, when you get into negotiations, it's a business at the end of the day. That's really the only time that those two are not in lockstep trying to accomplish a task. They're actually at odds in both trying to extract as much value as they can out of the other. That is the essence of negotiations, whether it's team player, team coach, what have you. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's all much ado about nothing, but I do think that, you know, when he was asked also pointedly that, you know, why he didn't extend Tomlin this time last year. He just kind of said there's no particular reason. So I think when it comes to these contracts, maybe it's more, hey, pay attention to what he does, not what he says. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure that'll get done at some point, but even Art himself just said kind of it'll get done when it gets done. So you don't want to tip your hand too much, I suppose, in that realm. Brooke, before we move into the quarterbacks, anything stick out to you otherwise in terms of the Tomlin-Rooney dynamic or potentially offensive coordinator, although I suppose we can touch on that search when we get into the Kenny Pickett-Mason Rudolph segment of the show.
I thought it was interesting. I asked him about what he wants to see in an offensive coordinator and how much he's going to influence that decision, that he very much jumped out at the start and said, like, first and foremost, this is Mike's decision. This is Mike's hire. I'm not going to try to muddy the waters in the line of communication by, you know, weighing in here. He was like, but that being said, I do consult with Mike and Omar.
To me, it's a, yes, I think what you would expect him to say, but in doing it
as clearly as he did, it felt like almost a challenge and almost like a, it underscores the significance of this offensive coordinator hire for Mike Tomlin,
that this hire, I think, is going to dictate Mike Tomlin's future in Pittsburgh.
Because if he doesn't get this hire right, that puts even more pressure on him. I mean, he
hasn't made a ton of coordinator hires in his time here, hasn't made a lot of offensive coordinator hires, hasn't made one from outside the building that didn't have a lot of Art Rooney's influence when they brought in Todd Haley.
So I feel like that was Art saying,
this has got to go right. And I'm gonna, you know, Mike has all the power here. We're following his lead. Even though a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, whatever it was, when we talked to Mike Tomlin, he said, well, it's going to be the three of us in one, him, Art Rooney, and Omar Khan. But
I feel like that was almost a challenge. I feel that Art was issuing.
And the Steelers, they're always going to present the united front, right? They're not nearly as in agreement as they always will claim to be on the outside, but that's probably a function of a well-run and, you know, stable organization for the most part. But yeah, I mean, it's short of asking the man if Mike Tomlin effectively has a lifetime contract here, I think, you know, we kind of tried to do our best at getting to the crux of the issue right now with the man at the top of the football side of the organization. And it was Art Rooney himself who said last year, I believe it was in the one-on-one sit-down he had with Missy Matthews from Steelers.com, that he doesn't evaluate Mike Tomlin on much other than he's glad he's the coach. So, you know, that was sort of said today again, or excuse me, Monday. We're taping this on Monday just in case something crazy happens within the next 12 hours. You know, he sort of said that again Monday, but things always have a little bit of a different tone and tenor to them in a contract year, of course. All right, yeah, we're going to get to Pickett and Rudolph first. A word from Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White for more than 40 years. Their firm has represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for your free consultation. And Propel. Propel's 13 public charter schools in Allegheny County build a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level during your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. So give your children the quality education they deserve. Check out Propel Schools. You can apply and learn more by visiting them at propelschools.org. Brooke, Art Rooney II hopes Kenny Pickett will propel himself into a better year three. What did you make of his comments on Kenny? And they were always kind of tied to Mason Rudolph as well. At least my feel for it was, and this kind of might jibe with sort of how the fan base is feeling right now, that the team president was far more willing to praise Rudolph, and it was far more of a, we understand it's not looking right thus far for our 2022 first round pick, and kind of the progress needs to be there in year three, or this conversation is going to be a lot different next January.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's absolutely what I heard. You know, the thing that I keep coming back to with Kenny Pickett is that
when you talk to anyone in the organization, whether it's front office,
coaches,
players,
anybody, and you say, like, what is it about Kenny Pickett that you really like, or what is Kenny Pickett good at? It's always the intangibles. And that's what Art said today. Like, we know he's tough. We know that he's got, like, the mental fortitude for it.
We know that, like, he has, like, the DNA and the makeup to be a quarterback. But when I hear him also saying, well, he's got to learn how to read defenses better, and, you know, there are some things on the field, and we saw Mason Rudolph show what this offense can be with quality quarterback play. It's like, oh, yikes. That's
concerning. I do think there is something to the idea that it is difficult to draft a quarterback, and you do kind of have to
pick your poison, whether you're drafting in terms of
tangible on-field talent, things that you see measurables,
and the intangibles. And the Steelers have said, we think that we can develop a guy that has the intangibles. If he comes to us and he has the right DNA and he has the right mindset and he can be a leader and he can be tough, then we can mold him into being
our quarterback. So far, that hasn't happened. I think that if you are going to draft someone
like that, almost like you want to create a player and he's going to come with like a 100 on the mental skills. I don't play Madden, and that's going to be very apparent in this comparison. 99. But
yeah, if he has a 99 in mental, but like
awareness,
a 60, yes, and everything else, like
you need to hire
better coordinators,
better position coaches,
strength. Like, I don't know if it's a sports psychologist. I don't know, but there needs to be more support for that quarterback if you're going to take somebody that is more raw talent wise. But that's also a concern because of the age that he is. Like when Art Rooney says, well, we saw him take a step forward every year at Pitt, so we think he can do that also in the NFL. What if he took all the steps that he could possibly take in college football? What tells you that he can keep developing?
That was one of the questions about him going into that draft and why he wasn't, you know, a consensus sort of top 20 guy. You know, the Steelers, he fell to them at 20 and they went with it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to me that he did not try to spin it as Kenny's fine, we'll get a new coordinator in here and everything will click. He didn't try to, you know, pour water on our heads and say that it's raining. So it very did much come across as somebody who thinks the quarterback still has a ways to go. And, you know, I guess you could read that one of two ways, as is every conversation about Kenny Pickett, right? There's always the two factions that just get further entrenched in one side or the other. You're going to have the Kenny Pickett haters who say, yeah, Art's done with him, he's on a short leash in 2024 and Mason might even start. And then you're going to have the very pro Kenny people who are saying, look, the team president still believes in him, guys. He's not writing him off like all of you. So at the very least, I mean, those are, I think, his most fascinating comments overall, because he did peel back the curtain on the big investment that the team made at the most significant position. And you know, Brooke, I mean, in previous years, he always sort of has something on his agenda that he wants to highlight for what they're going to try to do that offseason. In previous years, it's, you know, I think, been running the football. I think last year, too, he mentioned stopping the run. So, I mean, there's always little things he wants to highlight. This, though, I mean, not much you can really do about it in the offseason. I did not get the sense that they're going to really hit the free agent market hard or look into the draft, and unless he's really in all the comments about being interested in bringing back Mason Rudolph. You know, I think maybe other teams you would sort of wonder, okay, are they trying to, you know, drive up his price because they don't really believe in him? I don't think the Steelers tend to be that sort of deceitful. I think they're more straightforward, and what they're telling you for the most part is how they're feeling. So he was fairly candid about he doesn't even know if they've seen Mason Rudolph's ceiling yet.
Yeah, and I think almost you have to wonder, is Mason Rudolph's development a positive for Kenny Pickett's trajectory? Like, I thought it was very interesting
what Art said about that you see guys in the league all the time that have the intangibles, and it takes them 3 or 4 years, and then it just clicks. Mason Rudolph was here longer than that. He didn't have the same luxury as far as, you know, working through it for 3 or 4 years on the field. Like, he got the 19th season in and out because of Ben's injury, and then very much was a background guy for the last couple years, and was really only mentioned as, like, kind of a joke. I mean, he was the punchline in a lot of stuff. Like, well, the Steelers have a quarterback competition between Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. Oh, yeah, and Mason Rudolph, too. Like, he was very much an afterthought. And I think that the Steelers, in seeing the way that Mason evolved and progressed,
could look at that and say, okay, you know what? Maybe it wasn't the right move to throw Kenny out there his rookie year. Maybe
we need to sit him for a little bit, let him develop without the pressure of being a rookie first-round pick, a second-year first-round pick. Give another guy a chance. To me,
I don't know if they'll do this.
But I wish they would. It, to me, goes back to the way that his career was managed in the first place. I think that his situation has been mismanaged from the start. And they're now in a really tough position because in ripping the Band-Aid off the way they did in the middle
of his rookie season, or 4 games into the rookie season, like,
without giving him the opportunity to, you know, work with everybody. The story's been told a million times, but
I think that it just
threw a wrench in the timeline. And then you think, okay, well,
he's going to make this big jump in the second, and, you know, going into a second season, he's got a full off season, but, like, it's still just, I think it's going to help him tremendously to have a new offensive staff come in there and kind of maybe let things cool off a little bit. Let some of the Kenny Pickett discourse settle down the way that in a lot of ways it settled down around Mason, and then it turned into this comeback story. So I think maybe seeing the way that Mason has developed will give the Steelers some more patience
for Pickett and his development.
Could. I know that a lot of the viewers and the listeners right now don't have nearly as much patience, but that's sort of Art Rooney II's job, to have more of an objective look and an even-keeled, balanced view of this whole thing. And yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if I were the lawyer for Kenny Pickett stating his case to not lose his starting quarterback job in 2024 and beyond, I'd say, yeah, I mean, didn't really get much of a shot to be the QB1 his rookie year. And, you know, not just because of Mitch Trubisky's presence, but not a ton of reps either early on in the team development process, as Mike Tomlin always says. I guess you'd say, yeah, threw me in on the road at Buffalo for my first start, arguably the best defense and toughest place to play, with a couple other very difficult games there. And then I'd just gesture wildly at Matt Canada and say, what the heck were we doing offensively for most of my 2.5 seasons? Then you pulled him out of there, you know, midway through my second season, and then I got hurt. So, I mean, there are things that you can sort of point to. You know, I don't know that I don't think Art Rooney's making any excuses for his third year quarterback, but he left the door open, and I think tried to walk that line between we still believe in him, but we know he needs to be better. That's what I always laugh at, is like, you don't think that the team president and the GM and everybody in the front office who's sitting up there in section whatever 400 something where we are at Acrisure Stadium, they're seeing the same things that you guys are at home. I promise you that. They just don't react to it the same way that you all do.
Exactly. They have eyes, and they have been around this game for a long time. And
I mean, they always make the right decisions. They're not infallible as decision makers and how they approach it, but it's not like they are blind. They don't see Kenny Pickett throwing 30 touchdown passes to 10 interceptions where you're seeing the real stats. That's just not how it works.
Exactly. You know what? I'm so interested, and I almost asked Art about it, but
we only have 20 minutes and there's only so many things we can ask about. But
I kind of wanted to know where Mitch Trubisky fits into all this and how they evaluate
the decision to bring him in free agency.
How does that affect their decisions going forward in bringing in free agent quarterbacks? Because when they brought him in, like, this is an organization that doesn't often do that, bring in he wasn't cheap. I think he was, the highest paid backup this year?
He was up there. Yeah. Although there were some of the other names that float around every season, but he was up there for sure.
Right. So where does this leave him? Do they have to wait and see if Mason will re-sign? And then do you cut Trubisky? What kind of contract do you give Mason?
The quarterback room is so fascinating going into this offseason.
Yeah, I think he might have said all he needed to say about Mitch Trubisky by not mentioning Mitch Trubisky's name at all in that 20-20. Granted, you know, to be fair, we didn't ask about him, like you said, but I think the writing's probably on the wall for Mitch. And yeah, it just remains to be seen if they maybe try to fill out that depth chart with somebody in the draft. And I mean, who would have thought we'd be saying this, but come March, the primary domino in all Steelers offseason machinations might be Mason Rudolph. So truly the strangest timeline that we're living in here, Brooke.
We are in the upside down. That is as best as I can describe it, but I'm here for it. I'm always going to root for an underdog storyline. It's made things more fun.
And you could go back and look at your transcript from 2023. I wouldn't be surprised if Art didn't get asked about or mention Mason either at that point. I mean, I'm sure it was all things Kenny. Most people just expected Mason wasn't going to be back in 2024.
Mason didn't think Mason was right. going to be back Mason in 2023.
Yeah. So who knows? It's amazing how much can change in a year, and maybe we'll do this again next year. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we get out of here?
I thought it was interesting that Art was asked about stadium improvements. That's something that, once again, I think that the Steelers are very much an organization at a crossroads right now. They are, I think, starting to recognize that
just being the Steelers isn't enough, or it doesn't carry the same weight that it used to in terms of
off-season success, postseason success, in terms of being a destination for free agents, in terms of, you know,
overall view of the organization. I think
for a long time, the Steelers have been a top tier NFL organization because of the success, the sustained success that they had. And then in the 70s, and that, you know, was then has come back in long spurts throughout, you know, the last couple of decades. And now they've hit this lull, and
they can't just, the Steeler way is not going to carry them forward in
2024 and beyond. It can be a foundation, but they've got to add some support beams, or else
you risk being
kind of a dwarf organization, a dwarf star organization, that's just kind of
middle of the pack. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think people still appreciate. Yeah, people still appreciate the stability and consistency of the Steelers from the outside, but when that consistency is consistently being average or slightly above, not really moving the meter too much. So it'll be interesting to see how much this is an off-season of innovation for them, and that's going to start with this offensive coordinator search, which we will be discussing much more throughout the week here, I'm sure, on the Post-Gazette YouTube channel and at post-gazette.com. Obviously, the interviews thus far, Arthur Smith, Gerard Johnson, and Thomas Brown. Thanks again to Brooke Pryor from ESPN for joining us. She will be covering much of that as well, along with myself, Jerry Dulac, and Ray Fittipaldo here for the PG. I'm Brian Batko. Thanks, as always, for watching. Chris Carter will be back with you on the North Shore Drive Wednesday. As for that, keep it locked on the website, and we will have plenty of good stuff here to get you through the Steelers offseason that, in a lot of ways, is really just beginning. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.